This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. And today we continue with our essential fiqh class, inshallah ta'ala, that we were enjoying throughout the month of Ramadan. We took a break from, but we'll continue today, inshallah ta'ala. Something's just not right. I think something was moved on one of the cameras, but khalas, we'll carry on, inshallah, considering we are limited in time with review our class due to the timing for Salat al-Maghrib, which I will double check right now, just to be on the safe side so we don't go over that time, inshallah. So today's Maghrib timing, 8:46. All right, so we'll try and wrap up by 8, inshallah, okay? So we're going to continue with business transactions, or the chapter on business transactions. And we had left off, you know, just before discussing loans. We're talking about paying those who work for us, what we are allowed to pay for, what we're allowed to request a salary for or be paid for. We looked at silent partnerships. We also discussed advance payments, partnerships, silent partnerships, you know, what we're allowed to rent or hire, or who can we rent and hire. We looked at different types of interest and lots of other things, right? Things that are permissible to buy, things that are permissible to sell, things that are not permissible, and so on and so forth. Today we're looking at loans, and I'm hoping that inshallah we have enough time to cover all of it. It's very simple, very straightforward. There's not too much that would make it difficult for us to understand with regards to loans. And we're going to start by talking about what are the virtues of giving a loan or helping someone with a loan. What are the virtues? What are the rewards? What benefit is there to me, to you, to those of us who may help someone else who is in need of borrowing some money? So we have a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever relieves a believer's distress of the distressful aspects of this world, Allah will rescue him from a difficulty, the difficulties of the hereafter. Whoever alleviates the situation of one in dire straits who cannot pay or repay his debt, Allah will alleviate his lot in both this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping the servant as long as the servant is helping his brother. Wallahu fi auni al-abd ma kan al-abdu fi auni akhi." So we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us when we help others. As in, when you help others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for us when we go through those hardships in our lives as well. And so it begins, this hadith begins by relieving the distress of someone who is distressful. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the difficulty and rescue us in after, as well as in this world, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the difficulties of the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever alleviates the situation of someone who is in debt, so you help someone to come out of debt in any way, right? Generally, what we're referring to is you helping someone to pay off their debt or paying it off on their debt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for us in this world as well as in the hereafter. What we have of debt in this world could be a financial debt. What we have of debt in the hereafter could be debt of our deeds, right? Imagine being before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment and having a debt that we owe in terms of our deeds, as in we don't have enough good deeds in order to pay our way into paradise, if that makes any sense to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the help of His servants, so long as we are in the help of others. So as long as we continue to help one another, as long as we look out for our Muslim brothers and our Muslim sisters and we assist them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continuously be there in our help and assistance. That does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not provide for us and will not provide for us if we don't help others. Rather, what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with more. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with more, especially at times in our lives when we are going through difficulty and we need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than ever. And that's where we would see and find that we are experiencing blessings from Allah azza wa jal due to our helping of others in their times of difficulty and hardship. A strong warning concerning being in debt. And this is important. Look at several hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to being in debt. So it's one thing to talk about helping others who are in debt, but what if we are in debt? What if we owe people money? What if I live my life and I owe someone money and then I pass away still owing someone some money? What happens to me? Right? What happens to us? And so let's look at the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, or Thawban, the freed slave of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever's soul leaves his body while he is free of three things will enter into paradise. Arrogance, treachery, and debt. Whoever's soul is free of three things will enter, as in, there's nothing that will delay this person to enter into paradise. The other things are not as important. Of course, we look at many other aspects of our deen, but here in this specific case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for someone to enter into paradise so long as there are three things that are not found in their account. Okay, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever's soul leaves his body while he is free. Give me a second here. Let me turn off my notifications so you don't all read my messages. I just realized live streaming, you could see my messages. Alhamdulillah. So whoever soul leaves his body while he is, three things will enter into paradise: arrogance, treachery, and debt. Arrogance, we know very well what it is. Treachery, you know, betrayal, disloyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in particular. And then debt. And that's the key component of this hadith for today's class. Debt. A person who has debt in their name will not be, or will not, in fact, enter into paradise until that debt is cleared, or a punishment for not clearing that debt is received. And I remember Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub rahimahullah, one of our teachers, the former Imam of Masjid al-Nabawi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. Those of you who listen to reciters of the Quran, Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub, one of the famous Masjid al-Nabawi, who's originally from Burma, so he's Burmese, and was one of the Imams of Masjid al-Nabawi, taught us tafsir. And I remember specifically walking to his car one day, asking him this question, because he mentioned this hadith in class, that if a person has debt in their name, they will not enter into paradise. It really like hit me. I'm like, subhanAllah, like Allah is so merciful upon everything. How is it that a person who has not enter into paradise? And after class, he was walking to his car and I went after him. I was like, Sheikh, like, let me ask you a question, right? And he said, and I asked him, I said, Sheikh, how is it like if someone has debt? He says, even if a person has 25 halala, what is 25 halala? That's like saying 25 cents. He says, even if a person has 25 cents of debt that he owes to someone and he refuses to pay or did not pay back, then he will be questioned about that. And it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to either give that person a punishment for the debt or for their family to clear that debt. upon that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to remain debt free for the rest of our lives. And this is one of the reasons why, subhanAllah, you know, when we look at purchasing things that are way beyond our means and we purchase them with an agreement to pay that item off in installments, whatever the item is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and preserve us from leaving this world while still having debt in our name. The second hadith that we'll look at was a warning about having debt. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The soul of a believer is suspended due to his debt until someone fulfills it on his behalf." The soul of a believer is suspended due to his debt, as in they will not enjoy any luxuries. Remember, we're talking about the believer. Luxuries of the barzakh and that phase, that stage, until a person from their family or someone clears that debt for them. And this is why we saw examples previously of Allahu alayhi wa sallam asking the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who is willing to or able to clear the debt of so-and-so person who passed away, right? It's so important for us to clear the debt of those of us who pass away, our loved ones, people that only friends, relative. If we can, we should try to clear their debt. And this is why you'll see at janazas a lot of the time that Imam will announce, anyone has any debt, then please come and see the family members of the person who passed away so that they know that there's a debt that is due to you, and the family will make arrangements, inshallah ta'ala, to clear that debt. Next, Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever dies and is in debt, a gold or silver coin will have it fulfilled from his good deeds, as there will then be no gold or silver coins." SubhanAllah. Whoever dies and has a debt of gold or silver coins will have it fulfilled from his good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from our good deeds in order to pay off, as in diminish the amount. It's basically a debt that we have financially, and this is why I was saying, the debt that we have of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to clear the debts in the hereafter if we help to clear the debts of others. Okay. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood among them and told them that striving for the sake of Allah and faith in Allah are the most virtuous of deeds. Pay attention to this hadith. Striving for the sake of Allah, belief in Allah, are the most virtuous of deeds. A man stood and said, "O Messenger of Allah, if I am killed while fighting for the sake of Allah," if he went out with the Prophet ﷺ during one of the expeditions, right, and was killed during that time, during one of those battles, "do you think that it will cancel my sins for me?" So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Yes, if you are killed for the sake of Allah while you are preserving," as in preserving your deen, "for reward, facing the enemy and not fleeing," then he said, "What did you say again?" So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, he says, "What did you say again?" And so the man repeated. He says, "O Messenger of Allah, if I am killed while fighting for the sake of Allah, do you think that it will cancel my sins for me?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him, "Yes, if you are killed for the sake of Allah while you were preserving your deen, hoping for reward, facing the enemy and not fleeing, except for debt, as Jibreel just informed me of that." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Look at that. Jibreel, the angel, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him just at the moment when he answered this question, minutes prior to that. And this is why the Prophet asked the companion, radiallahu anhu, can you repeat yourself? What was the question? What did you ask again? And he repeated himself and he says, yes, so long as you do not have debt. So our sins would not be forgiven if we still have debt, as in the debt is not forgiven. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, we said this is a warning. Yes, it's good to clear the debt of others, but we need to make sure that we do not put ourselves in a position where we need to borrow or we have debt and we owe other people money. And it's a warning that is very strong. And remember, many of us have debt on homes. Many of us have debt on homes. And we put ourselves in positions, especially now. Today I was reading an article of a home in Milton that sold for $650,000, over asking. I can't even imagine trying to own a home $650,000. The home went up on listing for $999,999 and sold for $1.5 million, $1.4999. SubhanAllah. Sold for $1.650,000. Right? It sold for $650,000 over asking. How much debt are we incurring? When we think of it, subhanAllah, sometimes, especially now, people are flipping homes, right? People are flipping homes. They're selling their house, they're buying another, right? Just because of what? They're like, oh, the value is going up. We need a bigger home. Can you justify, like a sister was saying earlier today, she was talking, you know, and I overheard her saying, I can't justify paying $200,000 for an extra bedroom or an extra two bedrooms. I can't justify paying an extra $200,000 for an extra bedroom. SubhanAllah. Yet look how much debt as believers we put ourselves in. And I know, when we see others purchasing homes, we think to ourselves, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, they can do it, I can do it. And we feel the pressure. A good friend of mine called me, and he's called me a few times. He says, I feel the pressure. My family's buying homes, my friends are buying homes, everyone's buying homes. I feel the pressure, but he's like, I can't afford it. I want to buy a home. His wife keeps telling him, let's buy a home. His children are like, why can't we have a house? But subhanAllah, he's like, if I can't afford it, I can't afford it. I'm like, stick to it. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Right? Because being in debt, even someone who goes and sacrifices with the Prophet ﷺ during those times, you know, thinking of that. And Jibreel comes and says, no, as long as you have debt, your sins will not be forgiven. As long as you have debt, you will not enter into paradise. As long as you have debt, you will be taken away from your good deeds. Right? As long as you have debt, your soul will hover and will be hanging there in suspension. As in, it will not receive anything good. It will not go forward to receiving the goodness of the barzakh that the believers are promised, so long as their debt is not cleared by their family and friends and loved ones. Be careful of debt, my brothers and sisters. We move on. Next topic. Taking people's wealth with the intention of repaying them, as opposed to intending simply to use it up. So, borrowing wealth. Borrowing money in order to, with the intention of paying back, instead of the intention of borrowing to use and to never pay it back. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever takes the wealth of the people intending to repay it, Allah will repay it on his behalf. Whoever takes it intending to destroy it, then Allah will destroy him. As in, whoever intends to borrow wealth, whoever borrows wealth intending to pay it back to the person or people they borrow it from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay it on their behalf. Will either make them wealthy enough to pay it back, or help, you know, bring someone along who will help them to pay it back, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, could forgive that person if they leave this world and have that debt. Their intention was to pay it back. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clear it for them and not hold them to that debt in the hereafter. However, hadith continues, whoever takes it intending to destroy it, as in whoever borrows money without the intention of returning it, they intend to simply use the money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them, as in Allah will punish them for their intention in borrowing money for the purpose of using and not to pay it back. May Allah protect us all. Ameen. Shu'aib ibn Amr radiyallahu an narrated from Suhaib al-Khair that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, anyone who takes a loan and is not intending to repay it will meet Allah as a thief. Will meet Allah as a thief. I'll say that again. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, anyone who takes a loan and is not intending to repay it will meet Allah as a thief. So when you borrow money, when you borrow wealth, whatever it is that you borrow, remember, wealth is not simply gold and silver. Wealth can mean borrowing someone's car, borrowing someone's pen, borrowing someone's watch, borrowing someone's phone, borrowing anything that has some sort of value to it is considered wealth. Why? Because Islamically, I could trade this pen for something else. So this, as much as it's a pen, it has some wealth, some value. As much as this is a watch and it tells time, it has some value. As much as, you know, something is, whatever it is, anything, it has value. And you could trade with it. If you can trade with it, then it's considered wealth. And so when we borrow anything from anyone, we should intend to return it and never to keep it. Not just when we intend to borrow dollars, right? We should return whatever it is that we borrow from others. The next topic we'll look at, insha'Allah ta'ala, is the command to repay one's debt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 58. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily Allah commands you should render back the trusts to those who you borrow from, who they are due, right? Something that you trusted with, you return it. And that when you judge between people, right? When you judge between people, you judge with justice. And تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. Verily, how excellent is the teaching which He gives you, as in which Allah gives you. Truly Allah is ever all hearer, all seer, right? Inna Allaha kana sami'an basira. So a question came up here. Do we have to pay zakah on the pen? This is not a gold pen. It's not a silver pen. And no, when you're calculating your zakah, there are certain things that you use, that you own, that you don't consider your savings. These are things that you use. Zakat is on your savings, right? This pen is not a savings of mine. It's a tool. It's something that I use regularly. So no, there wouldn't be zakat on this pen, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, shows us here a command to repay debt. What is the command? أن تؤدوا الأمانة إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانة إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل. Someone lends you something or entrusts you with something, then pay it back. Okay, pay it back. Repaying the debt in the best manner. Okay, repaying debt in the best manner. Okay, So good question, Mahtab. You're asking, is there zakat on the pen? No, and I answered that, and now you're saying, because you said that you can trade it. Yes, I could trade it. I could trade it. I could trade anything, right? We could trade our, I could trade this shirt for another shirt or for something else, right? So just because we could trade something doesn't mean that we pay zakat on it, right? It's not an item that I use for trade. It's a tool. But if I need to trade it or I need something else and I look around and I say, hey, take my pen, right? Take my pen and give me a piece of paper, for example. Then I could use it as trade, but it's not considered something that I'm saving or I have amassed and kept for a year, okay? Repaying the debt in the best manner. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that a man had lent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a camel of a certain age. And then that man came and demanded it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he told the people to give that man a camel, as in he commanded to return that man's debt, right? He borrowed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam borrowed a camel, and he didn't have that same camel, so he asked for a camel to be returned. So they did not find one of the camels of the same age, but they found an older one, which was better, a better, older camel. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, give that to him. The man said, you have given me my right in full. Because he returned a camel that was even better than the one he borrowed. He says, you have returned my right in full. May Allah give you in full. The Prophet ﷺ then said, the best among you is he who repays others in the best manner, as in generously. We repay people generously. Okay. And let's see who amongst you is paying attention. Let's take another hadith. We'll take two more, okay? Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was in the masjid. He was praying, and it was said that it was a forenoon, right? That time of the day. And he said, pray two raka'ah. He owed me something, and he paid it back, and then some. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam paid it back, and then some, as in gave a little extra as well. Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'a al-Makhzumi narrated from his father on the authority of his grandfather that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam got a loan from him when he went to fight at Hunayn. It was 30 or 40,000. When he returned, he paid it back. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, may Allah bless you in your family and your wealth. The recompense for a loan is to pay it back and thanks. As in to show kindness, show goodness. Don't just come in, here's your money, and throw it at the person and make them feel as though they did something wrong. Sometimes people borrow money and they promise to pay it back by, for example, today. Or they promise to pay it back by yesterday. Today, the person who, you know, let's say I borrowed money from you and I promised to pay it back yesterday. Yesterday came and left. This morning you reach out to me and you say, hey Dawood, salamu alaikum, by the way, the money that you borrowed from me, you didn't pay it back. And yesterday was the deadline. When would you like to repay that money? And I feel like, oh, why are you asking me for the money? And I come to you and I just throw the money at you. Here you go. Here's your money. All you care about is money. And I give it back to you. Hey, you didn't do anything wrong, right? You didn't do anything wrong. This is your wealth. I borrowed it from you. You're entitled to your wealth back, especially on the date or the time that we promised or I promised to return that date. And so I, as the borrower, should not make you as the lender feel as though you're doing something by requesting your wealth back at the time that it's due. However, if you notice in the way that I put that question, the person who's you requesting the wealth back from me says, you know, it was due yesterday. When would you like to pay it back? When would you like to settle this? So you're still keeping that open, right? That option is open. When would you like to repay it? And so you're not saying, hey, it's due. I need it now. Give it to me or else. No, you're saying something nice. And so the person who's returning the wealth should return the wealth and say something nice. Make a nice dua. Say something nice to the person. Make them feel good, right? Give them a small gift, right? Thanks, some gratitude that they helped you in a situation in your life that you were in need, and they helped you to come out of that situation. Seeking one's due in a good manner. This is what we were talking about. Ibn Umar and Aisha radiallahu anhuma both narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever demands a right should demand it with decency, whether it is fulfilled or not fulfilled. Whether the person is going to pay you back or not, you should demand your right with decency, as in ask them nicely. Don't make them feel bad. Look, sometimes people who borrow money from us, you know, feel really like, I can't pay it back. I need some more time. Please, you know, help me out. We should reach out to them in advance and ask them, hey, I know that the time is coming up and you haven't really fulfilled the previous amount, or I'm just a little concerned. Do you need some extra time? Right? Is there something I can help you with? Maybe you could pay me back half now and we'll, you know, pay me the other half in another month or so, for example. Right? So give that person some options and request in a decent manner. Remember, every single person has their feelings. Every single person is going through their own hardships and difficulties. While at the same time, we have to understand one another. Maybe the person who lent the money now is the one who needs the money. And we borrowed the money and we went and did whatever we wanted with it, using it as a luxury. Because it's not our wealth. Sometimes people receive wealth from others and they're like, oh, alhamdulillah, I have wealth. Nah, I'm good now. I'm set. And then we feel like, oh, that person's rich. They don't need it. But maybe they are in debt. Maybe they need it themselves. Okay? And so, we should try our best to understand each person's situation and respect each person's emotions and feelings and hardships and difficulties that they're going through as well. Okay? I think we'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala. We'll stop here and we'll continue and finish off this part next week, inshallah. Okay, so we'll stop here. In fact, I'll just mark it on the previous page. May 23, 2021. We'll end there, inshallah ta'ala. If anyone has a couple of questions, we could take one or two, and then we'll get ready for Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala. Any questions? Let's just scroll up here and see. Okay, I don't see any questions there. Let's see here. I give you a minute to type them in. Okay, good question. Ali Hussein, can you perform Umrah owing on a mortgage? Okay, so there's different types of loans, okay? Different types of debt. There's a debt that is due in a large chunk at a specific time. For example, you borrow $10,000 and in 6 months you're expected to pay the $10,000. Now you're saying, okay, I'm going to go for Hajj and I'm going to use the $10,000 and I won't be able to pay it back. Okay? That's where, if you have that kind of a debt, you should pay that debt first. And to go for Hajj, because you're still owing someone. Okay. Now, with regards to the mortgage, though, and I don't like using the word mortgage. Okay, because you know, with regards to the debt from purchasing a home, how you purchased it is between you and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Okay. So the debt with regards to purchasing a home, generally, that kind of a debt, or purchasing a car, or purchasing something that has a greater value, but you are permitted to pay back in installments. Okay, so the agreement is that you will pay back, for example, $1,000 every single month until the debt is cleared. If you have $20,000 in your account and you want to go for Hajj, and every single month you need to pay off 1,000, right? When you go for Hajj, if you're not going to miss your debt or miss your payment, and it's not going to affect you paying and going for Hajj is not going to affect your payments towards your debt, then you must go for Hajj. Okay? So if you have the wealth to go for Hajj, and you're just saying, oh, you know what, I'm not going for Hajj because for the next 20 years, I'm going to be paying off my home, and, you know, I have to pay off $1,000 every single month, well, then I'm never going to go for Hajj. No, you have to go for Hajj. Because as long as you're going to fulfill the agreement, what is the agreement in that debt, paying back that debt? Is that $1,000 every single month, for example? As long as you're able to fulfill those monthly payments, and you have that extra money to go for Hajj, then you should go for Hajj. Okay? I think that's pretty much it. Oh, someone's asking about student loans from the government, as in the UK. Ask one of the scholars in the UK. Okay? Ask one of the scholars who are local to you. That's all the time that we have. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.